Last week, KBOO News In Depth aired a special segment on Oregon Public Schools. I sat down with Deb Mayer and Pat Eck with the Oregon branch of Parents Across America, a grassroots group that keeps tabs on political issues affecting our public school system. The conversation we had last week centered around EdTech and SBAC, two huge projects in public education that I would call esoteric if they weren't playing such a central role in shaping the quality of education received by students in the United States. EdTech is a program that seeks to employ personalized learning through the widespread implementation of computerized modules in place of what's customarily been teacher-led curriculum. I asked Deb Mayer about the potential impact that EdTech might have in the classroom.
This is a program that's being really contrived at the state level. The Department of Education is signing off on million-dollar contracts without informing parents, without getting consent. When we went to Salem to testify last week, there was a parent there who actually knew something about it, and he was giving testimony about why don't people know about this, and I believe this is harmful to my child.
Then I asked Pat about SBAC, one of the two enormous high-stakes standardized testing programs, which consumes an overwhelming amount of classroom attention and is required for public schools to adopt if they want to receive federal funding.
There's a veneer of legitimacy on what they say in regard to making schools accountable and that type of thing. But when you scratch that veneer, you can see underneath, and you can see that that was not the goal. The goal was union breaking and making money off of our public schools.
This week, I invited Deb Mayer of Parents Across America, Oregon, back into the studio, this time to talk about Oregon's recently passed Measure 98 and a bill in the Senate SB 353-1.
When Measure 98 came about, we challenged the Yes on 98 campaign to a debate. We were told to set it up, and they would consider it. David Rosenfeld, who was heading up the Yes on 98 campaign, eventually reconsidered and said they wouldn't debate us because we weren't credible opposition, because we didn't have a PAC. We didn't have millions of dollars supporting our view. So I suppose from the standpoint of Stand for Children, in order to be credible opposition, you have to have lots of money. The way that Measure 98 was marketed was that the Oregon graduation rates are abysmal, and we need to do these things to raise those graduation rates. So it sounded like if you were against Measure 98, you were against higher graduation rates. And since there was so much attention being paid to 97, people didn't want to take that on, to say I'm not for 98, I'm not for higher graduation rates, but these are the reasons why. Especially the union didn't want to say that because they were fighting so hard for 97. So that's one of the reasons that Measure 98 got a pass. The other reason is that it was promoted by a lot of organizations. When I looked up some of those organizations, well, most of those organizations who were being touted as supporters of Measure 98, they are also organizations that are funded by the Gates Foundation. The way the Measure 98 works is there's a grant writing process, even though 98 prefers to say that it isn't a grant writing process, but the school districts have to apply for the money and then they have to be approved. So it's like a grant writing process. And that money can only be spent for those things deemed in Measure 98. So yes, that money has to go for Measure 98 options. And if that school needs money for other things, they have to find it in other places.
So being honest here, I had no idea what any of this meant. So I told Deb, point blank, just how lost I was.
Thinking about this, I think like maybe one a good way of framing this is just like, what the hell was Measure 98? Because people know what 97 was, even if their understanding was just what the No campaign was trying to put forward, that narrative. There's that 99 was the one about outdoors, right?
Right.
So people, that's pretty straightforward too in that past. And as I understand it, it's not that controversial. It won by a huge margin.
Right. And it has a funding source.
And it has a funding source.
Right.
But 98 is kind of this black sheep that no one really understands, but it passed and no one seems to be paying any attention to it except for this fringe. And this fringe is it's parents across America, and it's also some billionaires, and then it's right. taking place right. in the Oregon right. Senate.
It's a David and Goliath story, really, because and the question you raise is really a great one. What's Measure 98 all about? Because it proposes to be about raising graduation rates, yet you would think if that's what it was about, they would choose the most effective measures to raise graduation rates, and they don't. Instead, they raise very specific kinds of actions that schools have to take in order to get this money. So what is that all about? That's a great question. One we should have asked before the election.
Yeah, and it seems like there's no clear answer.
I think the answer is to promote the agenda of people who want to make education less expensive by contracting it out to private sources and putting kids in front of computer screens all day long, and busting teachers' unions. And because if you look at it that way, if we get rid of teachers, then we don't have expensive salaries and benefits to pay anymore.
How do you, what is the answer to what the hell is Measure 98? You know, it seems like the answer is inconsistent based on where you are. There is no like simple definition to that, and that seems like a problem. Your answer is dependent on whether you're a proponent of 98 or whether you're against it, and that's not how legislation should work, right? It seems like there should just be a what, and that what isn't even clear.
Right. I think if you look at who's going to get the money that's appropriated from Measure 98, that may answer some of the questions. Is the money going to go to making stronger public schools? Or is the money going to go to private contractors?
As it turns out, Measure 98 was the overlooked cousin of the better publicized and campaigned Measure 97, which was ultimately defeated in November's election. We talked more about why Measure 98 seems so hard to grasp. Measure 98 is still unfunded and is in the process of moving through the Oregon Senate. I asked Oregon State Senator Lou Frederick, who authored the bill, 353-1, where the funding for Measure 98 comes from, since the state is over $1 billion in debt.
Well, the impetus is to say, how are we going to do these things? Part of the biggest issue for me is how this is going to be accomplished. Do you accomplish it? Is it effective to accomplish it by telling school districts, this is what you have to do? You must do this. Frankly, the districts have been having that kind of message for way too long in the state of Oregon. You have to do it this way. You must do it this way. We're going to come in from an external force, an external group, and say, this is how you're supposed to do it. That's one approach you can take. Or you can say, what are the things that are working right now that we can help you with that would be supportive? Because the bill doesn't allow you to supplant what's going on. It says you can only do new things That's how I read it anyway. So that's one of the problems. So you have really strong programs, for instance, in North Clackamas on CTE. Would they be helped or not with the bill? I think we need to allow the flexibility for districts to decide what will work for them, and then allow them to do that without some idea that somehow you're going to penalize them for not doing a program that you want them to do. That's the difference for me. Mm-hmm. My amendments say let's allow local school districts, local schools, to determine what part of this program is going to be most effective for them, rather than try to say that you know what they need to do. I think that they should be able to look at what they think is effective and be able to work with what they want to work with. That's how I've approached this particular bill.
What has the reception been for this bill since it's been introduced?
Well, it depends on who you talk with. I understand that there's some folks who are most upset and are trying to use the rhetoric of saying, well, I don't care about these kids, or I don't care about the CTE, and I'm just trying to stop this program. That's a flat-out lie. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there are other, and there are folks who really want to be able to say to school districts that they know exactly what they should be doing, and if you aren't doing it the way they want you to do it, then you are clearly not really supporting the idea. I think that's a real mistake. But I expect it, because there's a group of folks who believe that they should be the ones telling school districts what they should be doing, and this fits their mold pretty clearly. Mm-hmm. If you just say I want to improve the dropout rate, that's everyone wants to improve the dropout rate. The dropout rate is horrendous for the state of Oregon. But the dropout rate is horrendous for the state of Oregon, not because we don't have programs that are set up to affect the dropout rate. We have lots and lots of programs to do that. What we don't have, what we have been doing for the last 25 years, is disinvesting in schools and in teachers and in counselors. When you have a high school that has one counselor for every 500 to 600 kids, it's hard for that. You may have all sorts of programs that are available, but if that counselor can't get to those kids, that's not going to help. And if you're telling that counselor as well that you're not supposed to be counseling kids to help them through programs or through issues, but you're supposed to be tracking their test scores as their primary role, we know that is not the effective way to have an impact on the dropout rate.
This new bill, 353-1, seeks to give far more latitude to school districts in choosing where Measure 98 funds go to. Without SB 353-1, funds would go primarily to vocational training, STEM, or science, technology, education, and mathematics curriculum, and other programming aimed at getting students past high school and into secondary ed. This conversation left me wondering if Deb and I were alone in not being able to unpack Measure 98 in clear terms, and just what the hell it was. To check our sanity, I took a random poll from the immediate population around me, which happened to be here at the station in KBOO.
You tell me which one it was. I do remember the measures. Was 98 the one for the corporate tax?
That was 97.
Yeah, about the size.
So I don't think anyone knows what Measure 98 is. I'm gonna keep asking.
You made that up to me. There's no such thing as Measure 98. All right.
Do either of you guys remember? Well, first of all, did you vote in the November election?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you remember Measure 98?
Yeah, that's the corporate tax thing. Yeah, I do. I very much remember it, and I'm sad it did not pass.
Well, there's 97, which was the corporate tax one, and then there's 98, which is the one that was so convoluted that no one seems to know what it was.
Measure 97 was...
And 99 was that outdoor education one.
Right.
So it was like 97, 98, 99.
What was 98?
98 was... Are you looking it up?
Duh. Cheating.
Paul Rowland, can I ask you a question point blank?
Sure.
Did you vote in the election of November?
I did.
Do you happen to remember what Measure 98 was? It wasn't the weed one.
Was it a tax one?
So, there you have it. Describing exactly what Measure 98 is and what it seeks to do is way more difficult than it seems like it should be. If you care about this issue and want your voice to be heard, Deb put together a digital postcard that requires just copying and pasting it from a template, writing your letter to a state legislator, and then clicking send. To find this postcard and steps on how to make a difference on this issue, visit paaoregon.org. We'll be revisiting the political issues affecting public schools next week. Tune in on Thursday on the KBOO Evening News In Depth. For KBOO News, I'm Kanan Schlesinger.